Human capital management in government's a 25-year-old problem and a high risk for the government, too. Dan Blair is president of the National Academy of Public Administration, former deputy director at OPM. He testified to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Regulatory Affairs and Federal Management on the situation with human capital management. And Dan says a 40-year-old company or a private sector company with a 40-year-old personnel system wouldn't make it very long in today's world. Dan, I think you're right about that. Thank you for joining me today. What was the core message that you wanted to take to the subcommittee when you went to the Hill? Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you, Francis. I appreciate being here. I think the core message was that these are not new problems. They are not intractable problems, but they're age-old problems, and we have ability to solve them if we just pay attention to them and stick with it. And I was glad to see that Chairman Langford and ranking member Senator Highcap from North Dakota were very interested in these issues. And there are new senators or freshman senators, but their leadership attention to these issues will spur change, and it should spur positive change.
I have spoken to Senator Lankford. I have reached out to Senator Heitkamp's team and haven't scheduled anything with her yet. But Senator Lankford, of course, followed these issues when he was in the House. And my sense is that neither one of them comes to these issues as we got left with the last thing. These are issues. Federal employee workforce issues are important to both of them for various reasons, but they took this assignment because they wanted to do it, not because they had to.
Well, you know what was interesting, and I think I made reference to this, is several years ago we had two former senators, George Voinovich and Dan Akaka, who, Senator Voinovich being the Republican, Senator Akaka being the Democrat, teamed up and really were excellent and dogged on these issues. I didn't always agree with them, but you know what? I always thought that their attention made improvements to the system, and that's what we need today. We need to have solid, sound legislative branch attention to these issues in order to start help solving them. I mean, these many of these things go back 25, 30 years ago, and when I was preparing the testimony, I went back to the 1989 Volcker Commission. If you read through the Volcker Commission, they talk about hiring, they talk about pay, they talk about the role of OPM, and it's like, are we at Groundhog Day again? So I'd like to be able to say that we've progressed since that time, but they just take a little bit of different form. And I think now, especially as we prepare for the transition of the presidency in 2016, 2017, now is the perfect time to lay the groundwork for the new administration to say, let's take on some serious human capital reforms.
You and your colleagues at the National Academy of Public Administration are doing a terrific transition initiative, and we had Ed DeSeve on not too long ago talking about that work. You have a couple of hallelujah moments, I think, if I read my colleagues my friends in the federal human resources community right, in the testimony that you had here, Dan. You told the committee, I would not recommend Congress enact new legislation regarding hiring at this point. Why do you think that's the case, agreeing that a lot of folks in government probably think that's a terrific idea?
Well, I'll tell you, the flexibilities exist, and they exist now, and the question is, holding agency accountable, holding agency leaders accountable, holding hiring managers accountable, and holding OPM accountable for granting the flexibilities that are needed. I don't believe we need any legislation in this area. The key to hiring is that the hiring manager running the program and HR actually talk to one another. And when they talk to one another and they develop the vacancy announcement and position description, they will then be on the same page as to what they need in order to fill that vacancy. Additionally, one of the key areas, I believe, is a greater professionalization of the HR community in the federal government right now. We've been struggling on the HR side for many years. Starting in the 90s, we had a lot of downsizing. The downsizing inordinately hit the HR offices. And I think that there's a lack of capacity there. And I think strengthening that HR community, strengthening the skills and qualities of the HR professional, especially in the agencies, OPM can't do it on its own. It doesn't have the resources or the capacity. And frankly, it shouldn't have to. These agencies have number of people within their HR departments, and they need to strengthen those areas in order to bring about the human in order to meet the human capital needs that agencies and departments have today.
You've touched on the answer to my question, but I'll pull the string a little bit more. When you talk about lack of capacity, it sounds like you're indicating both the quantity of people doing the work and the quality of the people doing the work. And by quality, I don't mean that they're not of high quality now, but I mean that they have the additional background and resources that they need and training and education that they need to become even more qualified to execute a more highly professionalized workforce as professionals themselves.
You hit the nail on the head. I would like to say, you know, the Obama administration put out, I believe several years ago, a dictate that all that they were no longer supposed to use the rule of three hiring. That dates back to, I don't know how far that dates back, probably to, the early part of the latter century, and instead go with category rating and ranking. This was a flexibility that was enacted in the Department of Homeland Security legislation that was done in 2002, and there's still organizations out there using rule of three. I've heard we've been working with organizations that have not been talking to the hiring managers, and this is the thing that we stress, is that the program area that has a vacancy, those program managers that know their needs, need to communicate effectively with the HR professional, and that HR professional needs to listen to them in devising the position descriptions and the vacancy announcements. Using generic vacancy announcements will get you a number of applicants, but are they going to get you the best kind of applicants? And if we hear these stories of utilizing more or less generic vacancy announcements where you have thousands upon thousands of applicants, that's not helpful. It strains the capacity of the HR office and also isn't helpful to the hiring manager, because then they really can't sort through there and understand who's out there and who would fit the best needs for that job that they have posted.
And that fits with another of your hallelujah moments, as I interpreted them. You told the committee, "I urge the subcommittee to focus its oversight on hiring quality. Time to hire is important, but a shortened time frame may not yield the quality of hires and agency needs." And I've started to hear that a lot more, I'd say, over the last probably 9 months to a year, where HR people are saying, what difference does it make if I hire somebody? If I hire the wrong person in 20 days, I'm a lot worse off than if I hire the right person in 90 days.
That is correct. I mean, you can't do one without the other. But that should not be an open door for vacancies to go empty for months on end, or not getting back to applicants for months on end to tell them about their status. But if you have this pressing need for meeting time deadlines, quality is going to suffer, and it's a balancing act. Some you can fill faster than others. But at the end of the day, you want the best applicant for the job, because if you bring them on and you do the training and invest in them, and you find out within their probationary time frame that it's not a good fit, then you've wasted the time. You've wasted the time in which you've wasted applicants' time, you've wasted that employee's time, and you're going to end up with a situation that you don't want to find yourselves in. So yes, it's really about quality hires, and how can you bring those quality hires on board within the quickest time frame possible.
Dan Blair, the National Academy of Public Administration, testifying to the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Regulatory Affairs and Federal Management about today's human capital management situation in government. Final thought on performance management. You told the committee, addressing poor performers requires rigorous documentation, and the agency performance management system ideally should be an ally to managers attempting to address poor performance. Oftentimes, however, the system is not. I hear constantly that this is the hardest situation that not just HR managers have to deal with, but all kinds of managers across government. Part of it's risk aversion. Nobody wants to be on the wrong end of a lawsuit or some other kind of bad publicity. But many times, a lot of people, Dan, seem to believe that it's just too hard to get rid of somebody that's not pulling his or her weight.
Well, you can get rid of someone, but it takes a lot of time and attention. And if you're supervising 10, 15, a couple dozen or dozens of people, even hundreds of people, and you have to focus on one employee in order to go through a performance improvement plan and go through the steps, and it takes 6 months or 9 months to terminate them, then you haven't had the opportunity to focus on the other attributes of your attributes and requirements of your job, and that's not right. We have to afford due process, but I think there are ways of doing that in a more shortened time frame that is not as disruptive within the workplace.
There are a lot of elements to that. What was your sense when you left the hearing room that was different, if anything, after the hearing than before it?
Well, it was interesting. We had a very good panel. We had folks from GAO, from the Federal Managers Association, and also from AFGE. And I got the sense this idea of a lengthened probationary period might be something where not everyone's 100% on board, but they saw the need for that. And Pat Niehaus pointed this out in her testimony, is that oftentimes your training for your job isn't even complete within a year. So how can you be assessed on your performance? And so maybe there are a number of positions out there that need the longer probationary time frame. Now, David Cox pointed out that there are some jobs, and he pointed out to the VA in particular, that if you were a custodian within a hospital custodian, you should be able to be judged within that, within the year time frame, and it's not really necessary to extend that probationary period. But generally speaking, I think the idea of a longer probationary period, especially with a workforce that is concentrated on learning, that is concentrated on knowledge skills, not rote skills, like they were 50 or 60 or 70 years ago, would be a good thing and be helpful to managers and be helpful to the government in general.